I'd invite you to open your copy of the scriptures to the first page. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we will be reading Genesis 1, 27 through 31, and then chapter 2, verse 7. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, 26. Yes. Verse 26 through 31, chapter 2, verse 7. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us into this place today. We thank you that we can worship you and proclaim your name. We know that we can do that only because you've enabled us to do that, because you've made known to us the glorious gospel. And so we praise you for that. Lord, there are those that are not here with us today, and we pray for them, especially for the Kiefers this morning as received news that Nancy's not doing well again. And so we pray that you would comfort her, that you would heal her. Lord, I pray for Dan as he has taken care of her so gracefully, and I pray for him. I pray that you would just have a peace about him that it is beyond all understanding, Lord. So I pray that you would give him grace and that you would give Nancy grace and healing, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, we thank you that we can proclaim your name, that we can come together to worship you. We thank you for even acknowledging this verse that we are created. We are the created thing, and so often we worship other created things and how foolish we are to do that. Thank you for revealing yourself as a creator to us. Thank you, as Bob has reminded us even in this series, that you're not just the maker, but you're our savior. And so we praise you for that. We know that even in this room with this many people, there are those that don't know you as Savior. And so we pray that you would reveal yourself to them even today, that your word would be made alive in their hearts, that your spirit would be upon them, and call them to yourself, Lord. For those of us that know you, that you have chosen, that you have brought us near to you, I pray that we would hear your words today and be moved to action, that we would have a greater awe of you, a greater respect of who you are, a greater understanding of the things that you do, and as a result, be in greater worship toward you. So thank you for this time that we get to learn more of you and understand you in deeper ways. So I pray that your spirit would be at work in our hearts and minds. I pray that Bob would be able to present your word as you've given it to him to present. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The church in Texas. And Pastor Chuck Swindoll was there for many years. He has just retired, is in poor health, but they have another man. And I enjoy listening to their music especially. Just imagine if Moses had been painting instead of writing Genesis chapter 1. What if we were looking at a picture rather than reading a book? How would it look by the end of verse 25? That's where we finished last week. Well, it would look incomplete. There would be scenery with a blank spot. There would be sky, land, and water, vegetation, and animals all under sun, moon, and stars. But what about the unpainted middle? The highlight, really, the focal point of all of creation. Now Moses slows down his writing. For the rest of chapter 1, starting in verse 26, and all of chapter 2, he carefully fills in the blank spot. The story of the creation of man. From this point forward, the Bible is all about God and his relationship with man. It's a story about man's rebellion and then restoration by God. So why don't we watch Moses paint with some divine words as he finishes out the creation part of the creation story. There's one more day, but no work on that day. There are 5 points that we will consider supporting the simple theme, man is after the rest. I mean, we've looked at all of those other things, and now it's simply man is after the rest. So point A, man is different from the rest. Considering man being after the rest, the first point, man is different. Number one, we are now immediately alerted to something new. Something is different in verse 26 with the words, and or then God said, let us. We haven't heard that before. We haven't had that yet. We've had and God said, or then God said, quite a number of times. But each time we've had it before, there was a command right after that. And God said, and then God immediately did something. He brought something into existence. Now, he's going to do that here, but there's those little words, let us, that he hasn't used before. With man, it's different. Man's different from the rest of creation. We need to see that. Moses quotes God. God said it. Let us. There's here something else. Now there's something more than what we've already seen in the creation account. The words draw attention. The words, at least to me, pull the reader in. Wait a minute. I haven't heard this for 25 verses. All of a sudden, let us. I slide forward on my chair just a little bit. There's a new thought with the creation of man. What is it? Well, it's not so much about man right away as it is a new revelation about God. That's what's coming out here. We've gotten to man, but before we jump right in, catch something new about God here. It says, or we should say, God says, us. Us. Twice later in this same verse, number 26, he says, our. Us. Our. These are two, back to English class, two plural personal pronouns. Plural personal pronouns. But in verse number 27, Moses describes God with the singular pronoun his. So God created man in his own image. God says us. God says our. Moses says his. Singular. We have plurality coupled with singularity in these two verses. On later pages of the Bible, it becomes clearer what this means. If we didn't have the later pages, we'd probably scratch our heads and say, what is going on here? But don't we conclude by the end of our Bible reading that there is a teaching called the Trinity. There is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We discover the bud of that truth in the creation of man, but it's just a bud. You don't get the beauty, you don't get the blossom until later on as you read through Scripture, but it's here. The blossom later comes from here. God brings attention to man's difference from the rest of creation, first by bringing attention to himself in a different way. He's really forcing us, sit up and think now. I want to take you a little bit deeper, God says, about myself. As I talk about you. This is interesting because doesn't each person of the Trinity have a special part in the salvation of man? We're going to find out more about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all of their contributing elements in terms of the redeeming, the restoration of a sinful man. And so God just snaps out a knothole in the fence right here in Genesis 1. He lets us peek. Us? Our? What's this all about? Well, we find out eventually. The seed of that idea is planted here at the creation of man. So what we're saying here in this first part, there's a difference of man from all the rest of creation, and God introduces it by telling us something new about himself. Point number two. There's a second point of difference of man from the rest of you of creation. Have you picked up on it yet? Verse 27 tells us that man is made in God's image and likeness. That's new. Haven't heard that before. Didn't say that about blades of grass or amoebas or whatever else. Tree toads and black ducks and tuna fish and water buffalo and daylilies and mustard grass don't have this blessing. Wasn't said about any of them or any of the rest of creation. We come to this point, we're going to talk about man. What about him? He's different. Man receives a special calling. He alone is assigned the privilege to reflect the character and the personality of God. Image, likeness. I think likeness is just kind of some extra saying of the image of God. It is in a small way, but real, that man carries now the image and the likeness of God. Wow. This supports the idea of the dignity and the individuality and the personality of mankind. You're more intricate maybe than you thought you were. You're different. Maybe you've thought that about some others around you. You're different. We're all different. In the image and likeness of God. Man is created after the rest of creation and described in a way that shows difference. Now, these are just simple points, but hang on to them, especially you young people who may be taught some other things in school or by others, and hang on to this. Man is different. Nothing else created is in the image and likeness of God. Number three, a third point suggesting difference is found in chapter 2 and verse number 7 that was read. God gives man some personal attention that sets man apart. The description there, description in verse number 7 is like a potter molding clay. God took some dirt. I don't know exactly how moist was that dirt. Was it muddy dirt? Was it dry dirt? I don't know. It took some of the earth and shapes the body of man. Then God jumpstarts Adam by breathing into him life. Life from God himself. Can you see it? God has taken dirt and he's made Adam, and there he is, lying there, lifeless. And however God did it, breathed life into him. This is incredible. Now, God gave life to all plants and animals, but not like this. No, he didn't do it like he does this. Man, who was made after the rest of creation, is clearly different from the rest. We'll not take time to draw out the parallel to the spiritual realm here. Certainly we believe that it is God the Holy Spirit who infuses spiritual life into lost sinners, and he makes them different from the rest of mankind. Anyone that's a Christian, that's a believer, that has had the Spirit of God breathe life into him spiritually, there is no doubt that one, according to the Bible, is different. Can't be the same. Adam, you're not the same. You're different. Let me just ask you if you see that as a human being, you are different from the rest of creation. You are specially made, much more than all of the plant and animal world. The phrase sanctity of human life comes to mind. There is something about human life that is different from any other kind of living thing. That phrase has its initial roots right here. Truly, man is different from the rest of creation. The image of God tracks through the Bible, the image of God in man. Man is after the rest. Man is different from the rest. Point B, man is ruler over the rest. Man is ruler over the rest. We cling to, don't we, and find comfort in the fact that God rules over the earth. Now that's a bedrock foundational element for us to understand. God rules over the earth. I mean, just start in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then find all the way through the Bible more and more and more fact of the point that God rules over the earth. God rules over the earth in the United States of America at election season. God rules over the earth. Yet what do we find in verse 26 of chapter 1? Not only is man different from the rest of creation in the image and likeness of God, man is made ruler over creation. Isn't that what it says? Let them have dominion, New King James. I don't know what yours says. Ruler. This just shouts responsibility. Man is assigned the task of superintendent of plants and animals and the resources of the earth. Adam, dominion over all of it. Eve is involved there because in this same passage, we, verse 27, find there's male and female that he created. And by implication, we have babies coming along here, the progeny. All of you, all generations, man has responsibility for the earth. We see this management of the earth clarified more in chapter 2, verse number 15, where Adam receives his gardening instructions. God says, here's a garden, I want you to take care of it. That's part of it. Then in naming the animals in chapter 2, verse 19, that's part of the indication of man having dominion, ruling over the earth, the rest of creation. We know the job becomes more strenuous and complicated after sin enters the world, but the command still applies. You can read chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, and there it tells us about the fact that it's a little tougher to weed the garden now. It's a little more difficult with thorns and thistles and other things going on here, but nonetheless, man, take care of the earth. Man's different from the rest of creation. Man is ruler over the rest of creation. Are we taking our assignment seriously here? Are we managing our yard? That's the first part of your earth. Your yard, front yard, backyard. Are we taking responsibility for our yard, for our street, for our pets, our animals? Does it concern you? Does it concern me to hear of oil spills or forest fires or needless animal poaching? Or we could go on down a list of all kinds of things, and we are to have feelings about this. We are to have thoughts about this. We've been given a responsibility to have dominion over the earth. Are we happy when we hear of new medications that come out to help deal with whatever it might be? That ought to make us joyful. That's part of dominion over the earth, ruling over the earth. The list goes on. We are created different from the rest of creation, and we show that in the first way here, according to this text, by how we manage that earth around us. What do we do? Point C, man is other than the rest. This is important. Have you already picked up the scent of this point before we got here? I think I smell something coming. Some want us to believe that we are the last in a long line of developing life forms. As part of the natural world, we have similar and equitable rights with animals and plants. You can't build a road there because of this plant or this animal. Dogs are our brothers. Trees are our sisters. man is other than the rest. Next slide. But Moses triple underlines the creation of man as separate from, other than everything else. We're not in a long line of anything. 2:7, Nate read it. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being, not said by anything else, about anything else, not said before this. This is man. He's other than anything else in creation. You can read through, link this section with chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, says much the same thing. Man is a separate creation. Man is not a hybrid. Man is not a mutant. Man is not a survivor when others didn't survive. Man is not like the rest. Man is not from the rest of creation. He didn't get here on day 6 because of days 1 through 5 and all that went on there with plants and animals. You and I are other than the rest. Of course, we believe that the Bible is our source of knowledge here. One who doubts the Bible will struggle to accept or appreciate man's separateness from the rest of creation. We see it in our culture today. We see it in our world today, where man is being dragged down to the same level with everything in creation. The Bible doesn't do that. God doesn't say that. And I hope we don't believe that. There's this thing bounced around called low self-esteem. So-and-so has low self-esteem. And that may be true. Somebody may have low self-esteem, but I think some of it comes from this right here, without understanding who man is. Putting man on the level of black ducks and oak trees and everything else in the world. You're going to get low self-esteem until you understand man is different from the rest. He's ruler over the rest. He's other than the rest. God has made us in His image and likeness. Wow. That's incredible. Point D. Man is favored with or above the rest. Man is favored. Three things stand out to me in Genesis 1 and 2 about how man is favored in the original creation. But I'm wondering, can we see some parallel thoughts as we think again about the new creation of man and his salvation? I don't want to get into allegory here, but I think we can mention a couple of things. Just follow me as we reach from Genesis 1 and 2 to the New Testament. We can give some brief highlights. Number one, the perfect environment. Any disagreement here from Genesis 1? And two, the perfect environment. Now, if any of you noticed that up there on the slide, that top word environment has a different font than the others? Is there anybody who didn't notice it until I said it? I just goofed. They're all supposed to be the same there. That's all. The perfect environment of Genesis 1 and 2. We're not in perfect environment now. But is there any disagreement? Just hearing the words Garden of Eden gives us vibes of perfection. Garden of Eden. Paradise is another way to say it. In fact, in the book of Revelation, where it talks about that new wonderful garden place, it's called paradise. Moses has already painted in the sky, heavenly lights, plants of all sorts, animals on land, water, and in the air. And in chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, we hear of things that look good and taste good. You read through the text there. All of this good for food. Not only for man, but for animals. Wonderful. And riverside picnics are an option along the large rivers, chapter 2, verse 10 and following. There's a main head river and then four rivers that come out of that. And that's mentioned after all of this good food to eat. I mean, you think fence is good eating place. And it is. This. In fact, in verses 11 and 12, we're even told there are precious metals and stones scattered here and there. Wow. What a place. Man is favored above the rest. He gets to live here and rule over it. You know what? There's a more perfect spiritual environment, isn't there? I mean, that's incredible. The Apostle Paul connects the two ideas in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. What comes before new creation? In Christ. Before he can even mention those words, new creation, he writes about the words that are blinking all the way through the New Testament. Rod brought it out to us so well in the book of Ephesians. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. What a place to be. What an environment. To be in union with, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, is the perfect environment. It's better than being in the Garden of Eden. Imagine having a Garden of Eden to live in without Christ and a relationship to Him. I know that you are not in Eden. I mean, you're here. And this isn't Eden. But I'm wondering, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you in that spiritual environment, relationship, situation, circumstance? Are you sure you're in Christ, whether or not you're in any Garden of Eden? Second point, the satisfying nourishment. God thought of everything for the riverside diners in Eden. Imagine the salads. The fruit cups. You think you've seen a fruit cup. Imagine the nuts to munch on. What a menu of exactly what man needed to nourish himself, and so did the animals. The animals had all they, chapter 1, verse 30. They had everything they needed, too. My, always enough. Always the best, always close at hand. Just reach out and pick that fruit. Don't touch that one, though. But don't fall asleep there in paradise. Could easily happen for everyone who is in Christ, the perfect environment. There is satisfying nourishment from Christ as well. If you really know the Lord, cannot that bring to you satisfying nourishment? What did Paul say in Philippians 4:19? He didn't exaggerate or lie. My God shall supply all your need according to, that means up to the measure of, His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's satisfying nourishment for our lives. Everything I need. When I'm in Christ, the perfect environment, I have satisfying nourishment. Paul said at one point, I've learned how to live in all kinds of circumstances. I can abound, I can be abased, whatever it is, doesn't matter. I can make it because I have Christ. That's the way to live. That's to understand our creation and our new creation. You choose. What provision we have in Christ is incredible, but you choose. Garden of Eden or Jesus Christ. Take your pick. Number three, the additional enhancement. The additional, I mean, how can we even add anything more here? We've got the perfect environment, and we've got all that man needs in that environment there in the Garden of Eden. But now we have the additional enhancement. You know what enhancement is, don't you? It's sprinkles on ice cream. You can have ice cream, or you can have ice cream and sprinkles. One blessing in the Garden of Eden, one incredible blessing. Adam is not alone. You know how wonderful that is? Don't have to be alone. God went to special measures. There's nothing else created yet that's suitable for Adam. I'll make something for him. Make someone for him. Let's see, which number three, four rib, which one? Let's take that out and here. It's not good that you be alone. He's not alone. What an enhancement. You can track the wedding story of Adam and Eve, the end of chapter 2. We find the hint again of babies to come, about multiplying. That says babies to me, no matter how you spell it. You're not going to be alone, Adam. Not going to be alone there. But we didn't get to the cherry on the top. We didn't. I mean, you've got the ice cream, the sprinkles are there, but there's one more. You're not alone, but. Chapter 3, verse 8. Talks about God walking in the garden. What an incredible accompaniment, enhancement, blessing. We're in this perfect environment. We've got all of this satisfying nourishment, and we have this fact that we have accompaniment, enhancement. We're not alone, and God is with us. We have the person of Christ, the provision of Christ. Now we get the people of Christ. You get some more like you. What an enhancement, what an accompaniment. Not alone. We have shoulders to lean on. Teachers to learn from. Friends to cry with, saints to pray beside, not alone. What a blessing. I think that what we read about in Genesis 1 is a physical preview of a spiritual reality that we now have in Christ. Can you see it with me at all? Do you get it? Well, time is gone. Last point, E, man is the capstone of the rest. I find another first here. Boy, we get talking about Adam, and we get a bunch of firsts about God and about man. Up to now, everything has been good. It was perfect, but there was always more to come. But now, verse 31, God says, it's not just good, it's very good. It's very good now. That just means the work's done. Capstone in place. Picture complete. The finishing touch of man is there. And did you notice that word? Some translations have it, some don't. Verse number 31. New King James says, indeed, that's no substitute for the word behold. He says, behold, it's very good. He never said that before. He didn't say earlier, behold, it's good. Behold, it's very good. Behold, look at it. Moses wants attention on this. Give it some second and third thoughts. Don't rush on. See what God saw. React as God reacted to creation. Creation is finished. Man is the capstone. Very good. So the painting basically is done. Man is added to the habitat to enjoy a relationship with God. I know, man spoiled it all. But God then restored it in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your conclusion? How do you fit in here? I know you weren't in Genesis 1. I know you're here now. And you're part of the spoiled creation until you come to Christ, until you believe in Him as your Savior from sin. I invite you to the perfect environment in Christ where He will supply all your needs. And you get to be with all of us. That's not a downer now. Man is after the rest. What a privilege to be a human being. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for helping us to understand ourselves as we understand you more. Thank you for our creation, all that's involved. Help us to live up to your expectations. And help us, if we're not there yet, to be in Christ, which is far better. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.